Yesterday morning, Father John and I, and Father Aaron as well, had the privilege of being at the Mass at the cathedral in New Ulm on the occasion of the ordination of three of our seminarians as transitional deacons. So these three are called transitional deacons because this period of the diaconate for them is a transition because they'll be ordained priests in about a year, God willing. So it was such a joy to be there, partly because I served as the vocation director for the last 6 years, and so I know these men extremely well. I know how good they are, how hard they work, how much they love God and want to serve Him. So it's such a joy for me personally, but also such a joy for our diocese that in a year, please God, we'll have three more young priests who will be ordained. One of those three will serve in our area faith community this summer as a deacon, Deacon Josh Bott. So he'll arrive this week and we'll put him to work. So you'll see him around. So one of the things that many people don't realize is that some of the most serious promises that a man makes who's on the priesthood track are actually not at his priestly ordination, but it is at his diaconate ordination. So it was at their diaconate ordination that these three promised celibacy. So they promised to give up the good of marriage and family for their whole life. Then it's also at their diaconate ordination that they promise obedience to the bishop. So they give up the possibility of determining the course of their own life. And they put their life now in the hands of the church so that the church, through the bishop, is the one who has the say over what will happen in their life. So obviously, both of these promises are very serious and significant. And I was so proud of these three men who are only probably 25 years old or so, who, after years of prayer and discernment and formation in the seminary, are freely choosing to lay down their lives for God and for the church. Jesus says in the gospel a number of times, "He who saves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it." He who loses his life for my sake will find it. So certainly that's what these men are doing, losing their life for Christ's sake, but now he'll give their life back to them. And he'll give them a lot of joy and fulfillment and freedom. And so in losing their life, they're going to find it. This isn't just true for priests or for religious. This is true for all Christians, this call to lose our life for the sake of finding it. I often use this passage at weddings when a man makes promises to the woman who will become his wife, when he says, I take you to be my wife. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love you and to honor you all the days of my life. That's what we call an unconditional promise. A conditional promise would sound like this: I promise to love you as long as you love me. But that's not what marriage is. Marriage is an unconditional promise. So what the man is saying to his wife and what the woman is saying to her husband on the day of their wedding is that no matter what happens, I promise to be faithful to you. I promise to love you. Even if you stop loving me, I promise to love you and to be faithful to you. That's an unconditional promise. That's giving your life away. And what does Jesus say about that kind of gift? He says, "He who saves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life," and that's what a man and woman do on their married day. I always tell a married couple that on their wedding day, they lose their life. But they lose their life because it's pleasing to God that we would make a gift of our life and give it away. And Jesus promises that if we give away our life for his sake, we'll find it. We'll discover life. We'll discover that which we're all looking for. So the reason that I'm talking about this on this Sunday is because this Sunday is we call Corpus Christi Sunday, or the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus. And it's helpful for us to remember that no one of us can make the gift of ourself that God's calling us to make without grace. We can't do it on our own power. We can't. It's beyond us. And so we need God's grace. I need God's grace in order to give my life every day for the sake of Christ's bride, the church. And a married man needs God's grace in order to live unselfishly and to make a gift of his life each day for his bride and for his family. Of course, wives and mothers need God's grace in order to live their call. Single people, too, need God's grace, because what is every single person being called to do? Not to live the life of a bachelor, but to be generous with their life, to give of themselves to God and to others. So that's each of our call. No matter what our state in life, we need God's grace in order to live this call. We can't do it without his help. And that's why Jesus so generously gives us a sacrament to strengthen us so that we can make a gift of our life. And actually, what he gives us is the gift of his life in order that we might make a gift of our life. In the gospel today that we heard about how Jesus gathers one last time with his disciples. And this happens right before they sing a hymn and go to the Mount of Olives. And what happens at the Mount of Olives? He's going to be betrayed and arrested. And that's where the passion begins. And it's going to quickly lead to his death. But on the night before his death, he gathers his close friends together in the upper room in Jerusalem. And he takes bread and he says, "This is my body." And then he takes wine and he says, "This is my blood, the cup of my blood." Now, we as Catholics don't believe that what happens at Mass here, which we celebrate as the memorial of the Last Supper and of the cross, we as Catholics don't believe that it's just a symbolic representation that we have here. There's a couple years ago, there was a Pew study that came out that said 70% of Catholics believe that the Eucharist is merely a symbol and not the real presence of Jesus. And that's a huge failure on the part of our Catholic Church, that we haven't taught people that what happens here at Mass is not just a retelling of the story of the death and resurrection of Christ. It's not just a symbolic representation. I'm not an actor acting something out, and we all sit back and think, "Oh, isn't that nice? Father's saying the words that Christ said at the Last Supper. Isn't that nice?" No, it's not what's happening here. But it's what we believe, and that the church has always believed, is that when Christ's representative, the priest, when he says the words, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body," it's actually Christ who says those words. And a miracle happens in the unworthy hands of the priest, and that Jesus comes, and that bread is no longer just bread, but it's Christ. It's Jesus Christ who's there in the unworthy hands of the priest. He comes for us because he loves us, because he knows we need him. He knows we need him desperately. When some people can have this perception of us that we who come to Mass are goody two-shoes or something. I don't know. I come to Mass because I'm desperately in need of God's grace. Not a goody two-shoes. I'm a sinner in need of salvation. I need Jesus in the Eucharist. I'd be a terrible person without Jesus in the Eucharist. And so when we come to Mass, we're acknowledging our deep need for Jesus and the grace that he comes to offer us. We know that we can't live the way he wants us to live in the world unless we receive this grace from him. That we can't make a gift of our own life unless we receive the gift of his life. So that's what the Eucharist does for us. Jesus gives us the gift of his life so that we can make a gift of our life and live our vocation in the world, which is what is going to lead to our happiness and fulfillment. There's a ton of unhappy people in the world today. All we have to do is turn on the news, and everybody's mad about something. Well, why? Well, it's because nobody's here. Nobody is gathering on Sunday to worship in faith. So what do we do about it? Well, first of all, we ourselves who are here, thank God, I know I'm preaching to the choir, we ourselves who are here, it's so important that we, with gratitude, recognize the gift that we've received. That we don't merely come out of a sense of obligation, but that we come as the needy people that we are, so grateful that God loves us so much, he gives us the gift of his body and blood. So that we're so grateful for the gift. That our own devotion to Jesus in the Eucharist would continue through the worthy reception of the sacrament, but also through praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament when we have the opportunity. That we recognize that what the Second Vatican Council says about the Eucharist and the Mass is true, that it's the source and summit of our faith, and that without the Eucharist, we don't have faith. But with the Eucharist, we can be united to Jesus, and that he gives us the faith that we desire to have. So that's the first thing. If we want to change the church, if we want to change the world, we can't just look at everybody else who needs to change. First, we have to look at me. I have to look at myself who needs to change. That's the first step. The second thing, though, once convinced that Jesus gives us an incredible gift here, that's the source of our spiritual life, we have to tell other people about it. We have to tell people. There are lots of things that I love in life that I'm really happy to share with others. I love Gopher basketball. I love wine. And I love talking about these things to others. But in the scale of importance in my life, as much as I love these things, they're relatively low. But Jesus and the Mass is the most important part of my life. So if I'm happy and ready to tell people about these things of much lesser importance, then I should be really happy and desirous of telling people of what's most important in my life, which is Jesus and the gift that he gives me in the Eucharist. So are we willing to share with others the good news of Jesus in the Mass and in the Eucharist? And when I say are we willing, I mean, are you willing? Why? Because the people who aren't coming to Mass, I don't see. I don't know them. But you do. Because they're your family members. They're your friends. They're the people at work whom you know. So it's my call to help you. It's your call to help the world, everybody that I don't see. And so this is how together we can build up the church and we can take the world back. But we have to be willing to share our faith. We have to be willing to tell others about the gift that we receive here at the Mass, the source and summit of our faith. So today, brothers and sisters, let's give thanks to God for this awesome gift that he gives us, this gift of which which I'm not worthy, of which none of us are worthy, but Jesus gives it to us out of love and out of mercy and compassion for us. He knows that we need him, and he's happy to give us himself. So let's appreciate this gift that he so generously gives today, and let's ask for the grace to be zealous disciples and evangelists, so that many, many people can come here to discover Jesus, their life, here in the Eucharist, so that they can make a gift of their own life and be truly happy and fulfilled.